WUSB 90.1 FM, Stony Brook.
Because the sky is blue, it makes me cry. Because the sky is blue.
And welcome to this edition of the Healthy Planet radio program. My name is Bob DiBenedetto, your host for the best hour of your life. That's right, the one that's always in front of you, right now. The Healthy Planet focuses on topics that will help to educate you about the deep connection among all life on Earth and the powerful effects your everyday choices can have on creating a clean, healthy, and compassionate world. On today's show, I'm very happy to welcome my longtime partners in health and environmental advocacy with our nonprofit organization, Healthy Planet. Their names are Catherine Congdon and Bettina Barbier. Welcome.
Good.
Nice to have you with us.
Nice to be with you.
Well, we've just entered the fall here on beautiful Long Island, and it's starting to get a little bit nippy out at night. And all of a sudden, everything has pumpkin in it, from beer to lattes and everything else you can imagine. Kids are back to school. And of course, we're all trying to figure out what to be for Halloween. Well, not really all of us. But this year, there's something else palpable in the air, and that's the upcoming presidential elections. And this year, there's even more attention and energy around the elections with the late entrance of Vice President Kamala Harris and her VP pick, Governor Tim Walz, who have joined the race against Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. Now, as our listeners know, the focus of the Healthy Planet radio show is on educating people about how our choices make a difference. And while we're usually highlighting the impact of our choices on our health and the environment, this evening we'll be talking about the impact of our vote on November 5th on our life support system. I see this as a very important show, partly because there are still some people who very much care about the environment, but who might not be informed about which candidates truly care about cleaning up our air, water, and soil with their policies. And as a result of being uninformed, they can sometimes believe the untrue trope that when it comes to protecting our ecosystem in a meaningful way, the two big political parties are the same, both controlled by corporations and beholden to those who donate to their campaigns, et cetera, et cetera. And I will say that while big money in elections is a problem that needs to be dealt with, in this election, when it comes to the environment, there is a clear and undeniable difference between this year's Republican and Democratic Party that makes it very easy for environmental voters to know who actually stands for their values. And it will come as no surprise to most of you that the party with the proven record of creating and voting for policies that protect our ecosystem is none other than the Democratic Party. And specifically in the year 2024, the ticket of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And no, it's not even close. So if you're interested in the inquiry about which candidates are best for the environment, the question is, where do you go for the best source of reliable information about a politician's or candidate's environmental record? For me, the answer to that question is simple. One, look at their actual records. These things exist. They have a history. They voted on legislation. We know who they are. Second, look at the consensus of opinions from the many reputable environmental organizations that cover politics and policy. They've done their homework, and they spend their lives and careers assessing this important topic. And in this case, in the contest between Harris and Trump, environmental organizations are enthusiastic in their support for Kamala Harris. So how enthusiastic are they? To answer that question, we're going to start out by reading from a press release put out by four leading environmental organizations. It reads as follows. Washington, D.C. Today, four leading environmental, clean energy, and climate organizations, the League of Conservation Voters Action Funds, the NRDC Action Funds, the Sierra Club, and Clean Energy for American Action, endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris for president. The Biden-Harris administration has done far more to address the climate crisis and environmental injustice than any administration in our nation's history.
The League of Conservation Voters Action Fund, Senior Vice President of Government Affairs Tiernan Sittenfeld said, and I quote, "Whether holding polluters accountable as San Francisco District Attorney and California Attorney General, leading the charge on electric school buses in the U.S. Senate, or casting the deciding vote on the biggest investment ever in climate, clean energy, and environmental justice, and leading on climate on the world stage as Vice President, Kamala Harris has long been a climate champion. LCV Action Fund is proud to support her historic candidacy and to continue working together to protect our climate, defend our democracy, and much more over the next 4 years," end quote.
Manish Bapna, President and CEO of the Natural Resources Defense Council, or NRDC Action Fund, also stated, quote, "Kamala Harris has been a driving force in delivering the strongest climate action in history. She's ready to build on those gains from day one as president. And she championed the policies and investments that are cutting climate pollution, creating jobs, unlocking innovation, strengthening the economy, and protecting vulnerable communities. Harris grasps the urgency and scale of the challenge. She'll advance the climate progress we've made at home and internationally. She'll raise climate ambition to make sure we confront the climate crisis in a way that makes the country more inclusive, more economically competitive, and more energy secure," end quote. Again, that was from the president and CEO of the NRDC, Natural Resources Defense Council.
Ben Jealous, Sierra Club Executive Director, said the following of Kamala Harris, quote, "Kamala Harris is a courageous advocate for the people and the planet. From prosecuting polluters as California's Attorney General, to authoring bold climate legislation that would become central to the landmark Inflation Reduction Act, or IRA, she has worked for decades to combat the climate crisis and protect our health and future. There is no doubt that she will work to continue the Biden-Harris administration's legacy of acting ambitiously to advance our progress toward a just, thriving, clean energy economy. I have had the distinct personal privilege of calling Kamala Harris a dear friend for more than 20 years, but it will be an even greater honor to call her Madam President."
CE4A Action Deputy Executive Director Sarah Mason said, quote, "Clean energy is the future of American energy, and we cannot afford to backslide on the historic progress made under President Biden. Vice President Harris is a proven champion and fierce advocate for climate action and clean energy, and we are confident she will carry on the impressive legacy of the Biden-Harris administration as president," end quote.
The four organizations we just quoted combined represent millions of members and activists in every state across the country. The organizations each plan to educate and mobilize their members and supporters around Vice President Harris's climate and environmental justice record ahead of the election. Polling has repeatedly shown that voters support the clean energy and environmental justice progress made by the Biden-Harris administration, that these issues are especially motivating to younger voters, and that the clear contrast with Trump's record moves key voters away from Trump. In addition, Vice President Harris is featured on GiveGreen.com, the largest progressive issue-based candidate fundraising platform in U.S. politics.
The final paragraph of this press release by these four major environmental organizations goes on to contrast Trump and other Republicans with the last few years of the Biden-Harris admin as follows, and I quote, "The last 3.5 years of the Biden-Harris administration could not contrast more starkly with Trump and other extreme MAGA Republicans, and the stakes for this election could not be higher. Trump rolled back more than 100 environmental protections, allowing his corporate backers to pollute our air and our water and put other communities and environment at risk. allowing his corporate backers to pollute our air and water and put our communities and environment at risk. A second term would be far worse for our climate and our democracy. Trump has promised to be a dictator on day one and will continue to sell out our future to his big oil and corporate interest campaign donors. The League of Conservation Voters, the NRDC Action Fund, the Sierra Club, and climate voters are all in to help ensure that Vice President Harris wins big on Election Day.
What you just heard in that press release from four major environmental organizations is what makes it so very simple for environmentalists like us to choose between Harris Waltz and Trump Vance. And that is how objectively bad the Trump administration was in the 4 years that they were in power. And when I say objectively bad, that's really a gross understatement. Since they were not only passively in support of polluters over our life support system, but Donald Trump actually did whatever he could to make a mockery of our environmental protections in so many ways. And as some of you have heard before, when we've devoted entire shows to outlining Trump's destructive policies, his assault on the environment ran the gamut from weakening protection for our air and water, public lands, wildlife, our climate, and so much more.
According to an EcoWatch article written toward the end of the Trump administration, the New York Times reported that as of December 21st of 2019, the Trump administration had attempted to roll back more than 90 environmental rules and regulations. Those included, 1, replacing the Obama-era Clean Power Plan that limited carbon dioxide emissions from coal and natural gas plants. The new rule would let states make their own rules and could lead to as many as 1,400 additional air pollution deaths a year by 2030. 2, revoking California's waiver to set its own vehicle emission standards under the Clean Air Act. 3, changing how the Endangered Species Act is applied to make it harder to protect animals and plants from the climate crisis. And 4, stripping protection from streams and wetlands that had been protected by the Obama administration. And those are just the tip of the iceberg.
And this is Bob DiBenedetto with Bettina Barbier and Catherine Congdon on the Healthy Planet radio show on WUSB 90.1 FM. We're discussing information relevant to the coming November election and specifically about how the positions of the presidential candidates from the two major parties compare to one another in terms of how they plan on caring for, or in terms of the Republican ticket, removing all possible protections from our health and the environment.
In 2019, 9 conservation groups considered the state of the nation's environment after Donald Trump. Their consensus was as follows, and I quote, "Donald Trump has been the worst president for our environment in history," end quote. No administration has been worse for our environment or our nation's public health than this one. That statement was written by Alaska Wilderness League Action, Clean Water Action, Defenders of Wildlife, Earth Justice, EDF Action, Friends of the Earth, League of Conservation Voters, Sierra Club, and the Wilderness Society.
Just to emphasize the degree of concern held by these environmental groups, I'm going to read their entire statement. Quote, "Donald Trump's administration has unleashed an unprecedented assault on our environment and the health of our communities. His policies threaten our climate, air, water, public lands, wildlife, and oceans. No amount of his greenwashing can change the simple fact. Donald Trump has been the worst president for our environment in history. Unfortunately, our children will pay the costs of this president's recklessness. Our organizations have repeatedly fought back against these attacks, and we will continue to fight to ensure that our kids don't bear the brunt of the Trump administration's anti-environmental agenda," end quote.
Other environmental organizations are similarly sounding the alarm when it comes to the possibility of Donald Trump becoming the president again. According to an article published by NBC News before Biden dropped out of the race, the political arm of the Environmental Defense Fund will oppose Donald Trump's bid to return to the White House, calling the former president's positions on climate policy even worse than they were 4 years ago. This is just the second time the EDF has waded into a presidential election, adding that it will put $20 million behind a campaign push to support candidates this fall who support its mission to tackle the climate crisis.
David Keefe, president of the group's advocacy partner EDF Action, said, "Make no mistake about the stakes. Mr. Trump is worse on our core issues today than he was 4 years ago. Mr. Trump's antipathy to electric cars and renewable energy has deepened, and he's identified significantly expanding drilling for oil as one of his top day one priorities, often coming even before his border wall." The article points out Trump's frequent boast that if elected again, he will drill, baby, drill, referring to oil production. He also trashes electric vehicles and talks about how he pulled the U.S. out of the Paris Climate Agreement, a move President Joe Biden reversed.
In 2020, EDF Action's board broke with their established practice of not endorsing or opposing presidential candidates when they announced it was against Trump. They cited previous bipartisan efforts to promote environmental policy, while noting that Trump is not a conservative in the mold of recent Republican presidents, with whom we had been able to advance important conservation policy. The EDF's David Keefe also cited the Biden administration's climate work as follows, quote, "All the progress we have made in the last 4 years is at risk. We have made historic investments in combating the climate crisis, supercharging the clean energy transition, and addressing environmental injustice. We've gotten more done on climate than in any similar period in American history. And the contrast with Mr. Trump's tenure in office could not be more dramatic." End quote.
EDF's campaign chair, Jen O'Malley Dillon, said in a statement, "EDF Action played a critical role in helping pass President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, the most ambitious climate legislation the world has ever seen. As Donald Trump makes it his mission to roll back efforts to combat the climate crisis, EDF's leadership, efforts, and resources will be essential to defeating Trump and his destructive agenda once again. The Biden administration has made countering climate change a centerpiece of major pieces of legislation that were signed into law, specifically the clean energy and climate provisions in the bipartisan infrastructure law and the Inflation Reduction Act. Biden has regularly used his campaign speeches to highlight his climate agenda and accomplishments." Again, that was from an NBC article on the Environmental Defense Fund.
With all that said, the bar for the Harris-Walz ticket is not set very high when it comes to the environment, meaning that even a reasonably bad environmental record and policies would be head and shoulders better than the destructive policies of Donald Trump. Fortunately, Harris's record is anything but weak on protecting the environment. We're going to play a short audio segment from a group called Evergreen Action Now. Evergreen Action was founded by a group of former Inslee for America staffers and supporters who came together on a mission to build an all-out national mobilization to defeat the climate crisis and create millions of jobs in a clean energy economy. That mission now lives on with Evergreen. Jay Inslee, for those who don't know, has been the governor of Washington State for over 10 years. He was and is a champion for the environment and for taking action on climate change. I'll point out that Evergreen is not just about education, but in their own words, they are leading the fight to put bold climate action at the top of America's agenda. They're building the ambitious, actionable policy roadmap for an all-out mobilization to defeat climate change and to create millions of jobs in a thriving, just, and inclusive clean energy future. Here's that audio from Evergreen regarding VP Kamala Harris's environmental record, as well as some of their thoughts on the former President Trump's negative environmental legacy.
In yet another blow to Trump, Kamala Harris's presidential campaign just landed on a slogan that directly takes on the danger and disaster that was Trump's time in the White House.
"We are not going back."
Which is to say, we're not going back to failed economic policies, and we're definitely not going back on the most important issue that we face, climate change. But that's exactly what Donald Trump and Project 2025 would do. Their climate plan was written by Big Oil and its allies, the same folks who Donald Trump asked for a $1 billion check to help him get reelected. Project 2025 doesn't just dismantle the incredible progress we've made, it does so much more. It removes all federal restrictions on drilling in public lands, removes environmental protections on fossil fuel projects specifically, guts the EPA, and eliminates entire federal agencies like NOAA, which, among other things, make sure that we have free weather reports, simply because their work makes clear climate change is real and an enormous threat to the American people. And we couldn't possibly have that. In fact, if you need more evidence that Big Oil owns Donald Trump and the GOP, how about this? In 2017, Donald Trump appointed fossil fuel lobbyists and executives to run the Interior Department, the EPA, the Department of Energy, and if that isn't enough, he put the CEO of ExxonMobil, Rex Tillerson, in charge of all foreign policy as Secretary of State, which is why it's more important now than ever to say, we are not going back, we're pushing forward. The gold standard for climate plans is the one that climate advocacy group Evergreen Action just put out, one that actually takes on the most urgent crisis of our time and does so by creating jobs, lowering energy costs, and making America a world leader in the clean energy transition. It's a plan to use the power of the government to meet the climate crisis with the scale and urgency that it demands. It's a plan to tackle corporate greed and put power back in the hands of people. It's a plan to lower costs for Americans by continuing to build out the cheapest energy sources in the history of the world, renewables. It's a plan to tackle the deep injustices in our laws so that Black, brown, and low-income communities no longer have to breathe disproportionately polluted air in this country. And it's a plan that will continue to build the thriving, just, clean energy economy that we all deserve, and that the Biden-Harris administration helped supercharge in their first term. In short, it is everything that Donald Trump's Project 2025 isn't. The simple fact is that Kamala Harris is the candidate who can lead us forward. She's been a climate and environmental champion for decades. As a district attorney, she established one of the first environmental justice units in the nation. As attorney general, she took on Chevron and BP in court for polluting communities, and even led a lawsuit to block fracking that had been greenlit by the Obama administration. In the Senate, she introduced the Climate Equity Act, which became the model for equity investments in the Inflation Reduction Act. And speaking of, Vice President Harris cast the deciding vote on the most important piece of climate legislation in U.S. history.
The yeas are 50, the nays are 50. The Senate being equally divided, the Vice President votes in the affirmative, and the bill, as amended, is passed.
And since that law's passed, Harris has been touring the country celebrating the new plants opening to manufacture electric vehicles, solar plants, batteries, and meeting the Americans who are going to build that future. She is the candidate we trust to listen to the climate movement and build the clean energy future that we all deserve. The Biden-Harris administration's leadership has created hundreds of thousands of clean energy jobs. They have lowered the cost of energy for millions of Americans. And this is an important point. A new report just came out on what is driving energy prices up. Want to know what they are? It's the expensive and volatile cost of natural or methane gas. It's bad investments that power companies have made in expensive, aging, and incredibly dirty coal plants. It's the threats that climate fuel disasters like wildfires and hurricanes pose to power lines and other energy infrastructure. And it's the corporate greed that allows companies to charge you more for fossil fuels than they can do for clean energy. You know what's not on the list? Clean energy. In fact, right now, the regions with higher percentages of clean energy aren't seeing the spikes in energy prices that regions powered by fossil fuels are experiencing. But that's exactly the point. We aren't tethered to fossil fuels anymore. Donald Trump's Project 2025 wants to take us back to a time when we were, because it makes his donors money. All the while, we would be forced to pay higher bills and suffer the consequences of the climate crisis. This July 21st was the hottest recorded day on record. That is, until July 22nd broke the record. The 10 hottest years on record? It is just the last 10 years. The heat is killing people and fueling fires, hurricanes, floods, and droughts across the country. The science and our own eyes tells us that we're at a critical moment. It is our last chance to take the action necessary to avoid the worst effects of the climate crisis. We cannot allow Donald Trump and his big oil backers to take us back to the days of unlimited pollution. We have the opportunity right now to choose a different path, one that builds equity and prosperity, that keeps our friends and family safe, that lowers our energy costs, that takes on corporate greed and gives power back to the people, and that puts America in the driver's seat of the greatest economic opportunity of our generation. If you agree, learn more about Evergreen's climate plan at evergreenaction.com/plan.
Again, that was a short clip from Evergreen Action. This is Bob DiBenedetto with Catherine Congdon and Bettina Barbier on the Healthy Planet radio show on WUSB 90.1 FM. We're discussing information relevant to the coming November election, and specifically about how the two candidates for president compare in regard to their positions on the environment and protecting our life support system.
I will mention that similar to how Project 2025 creates action plans for the next Republican administration, Evergreen Action creates action plans for environmental candidates. They emphasize that we do not have four more years to wait before stabilizing our climate. The longer we wait, the more damaging and expensive will be the impacts of climate change on our society. So, how well did the Biden-Harris administration deliver on what Evergreen and its partners asked for? According to Evergreen themselves, the Biden-Harris administration delivered on climate by making major progress on 85% of what Evergreen and their partners asked for.
We should point out that the Trump campaign has recently disavowed any connection between their campaign and the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025. However, we should also point out that claim is suspect, to say the least.
Since the media has gotten its hands on Project 2025, Donald Trump has repeatedly denied knowing about the project or the people behind it. He wrote in a social media post in July, "I have no idea who's in charge of it."
But in April 2022, Trump shared a 45-minute private flight with Heritage Foundation President Kevin Roberts. They flew together to a Heritage conference where Trump delivered a keynote address, making clear that he was aware of Heritage's forthcoming policy proposals.
In that keynote address, Trump said of the Heritage Foundation, quote, "They're going to lay the groundwork and detail plans for exactly what our movements will do," end quote.
According to a Forbes article from last week, Roberts has even closer ties to J.D. Vance. In March, the Heritage Foundation head told Politico that Vance was absolutely going to be one of the leaders, if not the leader, of our movement. After Vance was named as Trump's running mate, Roberts said the foundation had privately been really rooting for this outcome.
That J.D. Vance also wrote the foreword to Roberts' forthcoming book shows just how close the Trump-Vance campaign is to the foundation. Vance outlines a peaceful second American revolution for conservative voters, in which Vance quotes Roberts as saying, "It's time to circle the wagons and load the muskets," and praises the Heritage Foundation as the most influential engine of ideas for Republicans from Ronald Reagan to Donald Trump. Finally, taking a look at the Project 2025 authors, according to CNN, more than 140 former members of the former president's administration are involved with Project 2025, including six of his former cabinet secretaries. The Washington Post reports that Trump has suggested several of the project's authors could be included in a second administration, including former advisor Peter Navarro, former Housing Secretary Ben Carson, and former Acting Defense Secretary Christopher Mill.
At this point, I think we owe it to our listeners to repeat something that they already know if they've been paying attention. And that is that Donald Trump's relationship to the truth is tenuous at best. And that isn't a subjective judgment. It's something that is apparent pretty much every time he speaks. And while all politicians misspeak at times, or mislead at times when they'd rather not say what's on their minds, in Donald Trump's case, making things up is part of his way of communicating. From what I've seen, his major consideration when speaking is what will serve to elevate him in the eyes of those who are listening. And for examples of that, we don't need to look further than this week, where he was making claims that are verifiable fabrications. For instance, he was apparently so upset over the crowd sizes that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz were getting at rallies and at the airport that he made up, seemingly out of nowhere, the claim that there were no people at the airport and that the pictures that were shown in media were all fakes. Meanwhile, the truth is that there were loads of press at the airport that showed an estimated crowd of 15,000 people. And of course, lengthy videos and pictures of the Harris Walls rally that took place in the same venue as Donald Trump's rally. Those videos showed a packed auditorium for Harris, whereas the entire top tier of the auditorium was empty for Donald Trump's appearance there. That was unpleasant for him, and so he did the only thing he knows how to do, which is make up a different story about what happened. He's also stated, seemingly out of the blue, and contrary to the broad consensus of the world scientists, that climate change is a hoax. And while he's never mentioned the millions of deaths caused by fossil fuel pollution every year, he did entirely make up the unsupported statement that wind turbines cause cancer. And in the last debate, when he was asked about what he might do in response to climate change, he said, quote, "We had the best environmental numbers ever," end quote. But as we all know, the truth is that his administration rolled back nearly 100 environmental regulations, including protections on clean air and clean water. On a Fox interview and elsewhere, he said, quote, "When I listen to people talk about global warming and that the oceans will rise in the next 300 years by 1/8 of an inch, and they talk about this is our problem," end quote. Everybody gets statistics wrong. But according to actual scientists, the rate of sea level rise is closer to 1/8 of an inch every year, not every 300 years. And in other engagements, he has repeated this claim, saying over the next 300 years, the ocean is going to rise 1/100 of an inch. He jokes that that's giving you slightly more seafront property. And I'll also mention, just because this happens in the last few days, that he continues to claim that trans people were in the Olympics and what a terrible thing it is, when the fact is that there were no trans people in the Olympics. So while this show is about the environment, we'd be doing a disservice to our listeners if we didn't point out this very uncomfortable propensity of former President Trump to simply lie out of convenience. Unfortunately, the lies have become so frequent that they have become business as usual, and media are not calling out the lies as often as they could.
So, we've covered just a bit of what environmental organizations have had to say about their very strong support for Kamala Harris's candidacy over Donald Trump's. But what does Kamala Harris's actual environmental record tell us about her? For the best answer to that, we can go to the League of Conservation Voters Environmental Scorecard. The LCV scorecard gives us the percentage of votes pro and con cast by politicians on the environment. With that explanation, when Vice President Kamala Harris was Senator Harris, her pro-environmental voting percentage was 90%, a very good score. And it appears that 10% of the time when she didn't vote pro-environment was because she was absent for those votes, some while she was campaigning to be vice president.
Now, contrast Kamala Harris's League of Conservation Voters score of 90% with the title that organization bestowed upon Donald Trump, which was, listen to this, the dirtiest of all time. And maybe the best way to synopsize Kamala Harris's record on the environment is to read this letter that was recently created by 350 U.S. climate, environment, energy leaders, community members, and more. It's entitled The Climate and Environmental Community Supports Vice President Harris in 2024.
We, the undersigned, are U.S. climate, environment, and energy leaders, community members, and concerned and active citizens from all religions, backgrounds, parties, and generations who know that this is the decade for decisive action to fight the climate crisis, to protect our health and communities from pollution, and conserve nature for future generations. For this reason, we strongly support Kamala Harris as the next president of the United States. Here is why we are standing with Vice President Harris. First, Kamala Harris has been a climate action champion for her entire career, and especially as vice president. As California Attorney General, she took on big oil over their misleading claims on climate change. As senator, She called for achieving net zero emissions by 2045 and supported funding for speeding the transition to renewable energy. As vice president, she has been instrumental in restoring U.S. global leadership on climate change, working closely with President Biden to build an historic record of climate action. She spearheaded the administration's efforts to transition to clean energy, reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and protect lives and livelihoods from extreme weather events. She helped unleash a new wave of clean energy jobs and position the U.S. as a global leader in renewable energy innovation.
Second, Kamala Harris has been an environmental justice champion because she knows those impacted most by pollution have the least power. In 2005, as San Francisco's district attorney, Kamala Harris created a new environmental justice unit, the first in the nation, to prosecute environmental crimes. Since then, she has fought tirelessly to help disadvantaged communities across the country live healthier and safer lives, leading efforts to eradicate lead pipes, clean up toxic sites, and make sure tribal communities get basic services like running water and access to low-cost clean energy. Kamala Harris would also continue the work on tribal sovereignty and tribal self-determination undertaken by the Biden-Harris administration. Third, as vice president, Kamala Harris has demonstrated that a fast and fair clean energy transition can grow good jobs and lower costs every day for American families. She has consistently emphasized the interconnected benefits of renewable energy, cost savings, and job creation. In her role leading the rollout of the Inflation Reduction Act, she has underscored that investments in renewable energy are not only crucial for lowering costs and tackling the climate crisis, but also for generating employment opportunities, proudly highlighting that this transformational legislation has so far created over 300,000 new clean energy jobs across the country.
Fourth, Kamala Harris understands that a clean environment, clean air, water, beaches, lands, and oceans is a key part of who we are as Americans. She knows that we owe it to future generations to conserve our natural heritage. In California, she successfully brought criminal charges against the company after causing a devastating oil spill off the coast of California. She has supported ending new offshore oil and gas drilling, keeping our national parks and protected areas from mining, and strengthened environmental enforcement against polluters. She has been a fierce advocate for protecting endangered species, leading the Senate's fight against the Trump administration's efforts to dismantle the Endangered Species Act. Fifth, Kamala Harris knows that no country alone can solve the climate crisis, and she believes in robust global leadership to ensure that the world acts together to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and follow the science. She has been a pivotal voice in the Biden-Harris administration, which has repaired the damage the Trump administration did to American credibility and global cooperation when it pulled the United States out of the Paris Climate Agreement. Through more than 20 international trips as vice president to her critical attendance at COP28, where she helped achieve the Dubai Consensus on the imperative of global energy transition, Harris has made climate leadership central to her portfolio. Her administration would stand for continued, principled, ambitious American leadership in this arena.
Together we win. We know that protecting our planet for ourselves and future generations requires the kind of bold leadership that Kamala Harris has demonstrated her entire life. We are proud to support her and be in the fight against climate change with her. Again, that was a letter written by 350 U.S. climate, environment, and energy leaders and community members, including such names as former Secretary of State John F. Kerry, former Secretary of Energy Stephen Chu, and former Secretary of the Interior Sally Jewell, and many more.
That's quite a list.
And there are many, many more, because that was 350 signatories on that letter.
I think I saw Bill McKibben's name on that somewhere.
He was on there as well, yes.
19 pages of signatures.
Not just from our government, from all kinds of organizations.
Correct. I'd like to mention one more aspect of Kamala Harris's environmental record that addresses the topics that we at Healthy Planet have been quite focused on for the last few decades. And that is what Kamala Harris has said about the critically important meat-animals-environments connection. The plant-based news media platform has researched Vice President Harris's position on these issues and has concluded that, throughout her career, Harris has prioritized various forms of environmental and animal protections. The very fact that she's addressed the topic in the first place is quite significant and important, since the production and consumption of animal products has been repeatedly linked with an increased risk of heart disease, cancer, and other negative health outcomes, as well as being a major contributing factor to the most serious environmental issues, including biodiversity loss, water and air pollution, rainforest depletion, and climate change, to name just a few. And on top of that, the consumption of animal products by humans over plant-based foods is placing an enormous burden on our global food supply, since when you raise animals for food, the vast majority of what we feed those animals is wasted. So using most of our global growing lands to feed animals versus people in a world where hundreds of millions are hungry makes very little to no sense. Vice President Harris has indeed discussed the negative impact of red meat on health and the environment. In 2019, she suggested that the U.S. government incentivize environmentally friendly foods on a national level. She said that moderation should be encouraged and that people should be educated on the effects of our eating habits on our environment. She also said that she would support updating the national dietary guidelines to reduce the emphasis on red meat in particular, and express support for updated dietary guidelines to encourage the reduction of red meat consumption nationwide. Harris said, "I strongly believe that the American consumer is still left without the information that you need and deserve to have about what it is that you are putting into your body or surrounding yourself with, and the health implications of those things." These are issues that we've discussed at length on this show, and regardless of what your personal food choices might be, there should be no debate that educating Americans about the enormous personal and public health benefits of eating more whole plant foods is an idea whose time has come. Additionally, Kamala Harris has stood up against animal cruelty over the years. In 2020, Humane Society International shared the exceptional fact that Harris had received a perfect 100% on their humane scorecard every single year since being elected to the U.S. Senate. Harris has co-sponsored legislation to reduce equine abuse and racehorse doping, prohibit trading of shark fins, and cut down wildlife trafficking, and supported the PACT Act, creating a felony penalty for malicious animal cruelty. Along with Senator Susan Collins, Harris introduced the Help Extract Animals from Red Tape, or HEART Act, speeding up the rescue of animals cruelly forced to fight in animal fighting rings, and making those responsible for their abuse pay for their care. She also repeatedly defended California's controversial ban on foie gras, which remains in force despite repeated attacks on it. She has made a widely reported visit to a plant-based taco shop on the recommendation of Senator Cory Booker, a well-known animal rights advocate and vegan, and has spoken about how she uses almond milk instead of dairy. She said she was dabbling in veganism and that she reduces her consumption of animal products by staying plant-based before 6 p.m. The fact that Vice President Harris is so aware of the connection between animal agriculture and the environment, as well as the benefits of plant-based eating for the well-being of the animals and our own health, separates her from any presidential candidate we've seen in modern history. This is Bob DiBenedetto with others from the Healthy Planet crew, Catherine Congdon and Bettina Barbier, on the Healthy Planet radio show on WUSB 90.1 FM Stony Brook. We're discussing information relevant to the coming November election, and specifically, We're outlining and examining the environmental stances of the presidential and vice presidential candidates on both sides of the aisle. And what we're finding is rather stark and gives a definitive picture about who is standing for the environment.
The next question is, how does VP Harris's VP pick, Tim Walz, stack up in terms of his environmental record? And how does he compare to Trump's VP pick, J.D. Vance? As you might have guessed, the contrast between Tim Walz and J.D. Vance when it comes to the environment is as stark as the contrast between VP Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. Tim Walz has been called one of the nation's most forceful climate advocates. When we look at J.D. Vance's environmental scorecard rating by the League of Conservation Voters, we see that while his record in Congress was only 1 year, it's notable that he somehow achieved a 0% environmental voting record over that period of time. That means he did not cast one vote for the environment. We'll remind you that Kamala Harris's Senate voting record was 90% positive. Going back to Tim Walz, if there's one thing about Tim Walz that we can all be happy about, it's his strong record on the environment.
The following article we'll be reading was published last week by NPR. It gives us a very good sense about who Tim Walz is when it comes to the environment. It's entitled, "Here's What Tim Walz Did on Climate Change as Minnesota Governor," and says that climate change has been a theme through his political career. In 2009, during his 12 years as a member of the House of Representatives, he voted for a major climate bill that would have capped planet heating emissions across the economy. Unfortunately, the legislation failed to pass the Senate. Under his watch, Minnesota has passed some of the nation's most progressive environmental and climate legislation to date. His 100% by 2040 law brings Minnesota into step with Oregon and California. In fact, surpassing California by 5 years, and these are now the only three states to have assigned a date by which they will be running on 100% renewable energy.
Gina McCarthy, a past EPA administrator, the nation's first White House national climate advisor, and now co-chair of a climate coalition called America Is All In, says she is all in for Walz, and that he can't be bought by the fossil fuel industry. She called Walz a climate champion moving Minnesota toward 100% clean energy. Walz hasn't just passed laws that will achieve great things. He's enacted supporting laws that make the bigger ones possible. The Minnesota Energy Infrastructure Permitting Act is one such piece of legislation. This law addresses and streamlines the permitting process for renewable energy, which was a potential roadblock to the timely creation of new power generation facilities. Walz's sweeping and transformative legislation covers many critical issues that environmental organizations have been fighting for years.
The way Walz thinks is practical. This example isn't about the environment, but it does show the way he thinks. He structured his landmark school food program so that all kids, regardless of family income, could get breakfast and lunch. This, somewhat ironically, was criticized by wealthy Republicans as a handout for wealthy families. But Walz explained that it saves a huge amount of resources because it sidesteps the expensive and time-consuming step of ascertaining family income. Even better, it avoids the stigma many school food programs inflict on kids who get different food or hold different colored tickets or otherwise identify them as having lower incomes. He's not just passing laws that are presented to him. He's thinking about what else needs to be done to make the laws work.
Regarding chemical pollution, his bill includes the nation's strictest regulations on forever chemicals, defines specific environmental justice areas, contains limits on the amount of lead and cadmium that can be present in many consumer products, sets up a program to install air quality monitors in environmental justice areas, and allows the Pollution Control Agency to deal with facilities that have had odor complaints, institutes more stringent testing, inspection, and reporting requirements for polluting facilities.
regarding animals, Walz's bill curtails new white-tailed deer farms and sets stronger requirements for existing ones, effectively ends the harvest, sale, and export of wild turtles in Minnesota, and legally protects more species of fish in their native ecosystems. Regarding protection of various forms of wildlife, including pollinators and their habitats, the law tightens regulations on neonic pesticides, includes grants for converting grass lawns to more pollinator-friendly habitats.
Now, I'll point out that we recently did a show on planting native gardens, and it's very important to start changing from our lawns to wildlife-friendly habitats. And so it's very forward-thinking for Tim Walz to have included this in his bill, when this is really cutting-edge information that is certainly on the rise in this area and in the United States. But I give him a lot of credit for that.
I do too, Bob. The bill also allows cities to ban pesticides that are determined to be lethal to pollinators. It allocates $10 million towards enhancing prairies and grasslands and restoring wetlands on state-owned wildlife management areas. And almost $8 million more is allocated for the acquisition and restoration of new wildlife management areas.
On alternate energy, the bill authorizes rebates for the purchase of both new and used electric vehicles, mandates state agencies to prefer electric and hybrid vehicles when purchasing new automobiles, creates a grant program to help school districts buy electric buses, which is actually really great, instead of the diesel, which is bad for their breathing and everything.
For the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Directs tens of millions of dollars in funding to the Solar for Schools program, prohibits homeowners associations from banning solar projects, includes more than $20 million in incentives for consumers to install and connect solar systems to the power grid, includes nearly $20 million in funding for grants and rebates for electric heat pumps and improved electric panels for more efficient appliances like electric stoves. And to make sure people can enjoy the clean environment being protected by Walz and his legislation, the bill includes funding for improvements to state parks and other facilities, all geared towards helping Minnesotans get into and enjoy nature.
Unfortunately, despite the fact that we've covered an awful lot, there's a lot more that we could have covered. And I know for me, just looking up the environmental accomplishments of the Biden-Harris administration and Tim Walz, and looking at the clear characterization by all the environmental groups about just how devastating Trump's presidency was on the environment, it even makes this situation more clear about who we need to vote for if we are prioritizing environment and human health. And of course, let's keep in mind that not everybody has the same priorities. We all vote for our own reasons. And if you have other issues that are more important to you than our life support system, then that's for you to determine. But we are talking specifically to the environment voters.
Yes. And whatever you do, make sure you get out and vote. And vote your conscience. And if you care about the environment, I think it's been very clear, not just the Harris-Biden record, but Harris's own record. She even sued the Obama administration over an environmental issue. So she's nonpartisan. She's for the environment. Trump is clearly the antithesis of that. So it was great being on this show to talk about these really, really crucial and vital issues.
Remember, Trump has been designated as the worst environmental president in U.S. history, and the Biden-Harris administration has been characterized as the best administration in United States history regarding their stances and records on the environment. By the people who know best, by the people who have been tracking this, by the people who have committed their lives toward assuring a clean and healthy environment for all of us.
Amen.
Absolutely, Bob. And I don't know if there's anybody who really isn't aware of a lot of what we've been talking about, but I will say it is such a pleasure to have a candidate like Kamala Harris and a VP candidate like Tim Walz, both of whom have done so much. They see the issues. They have a history of just wanting to make things better. I think the distinction is they're in it for all of us, not just for themselves. They want to make a better world.
While I agree that a good portion of the population has an idea about just how bad Donald Trump has been for the environment and just how little he cares about our life support system. On the other hand, we have a conversation between Donald Trump and Elon Musk that Bill McKibben called something like the dumbest climate conversation of all time. They were saying things that were just ridiculous, and they would be ridiculous to anybody who knows about climate change, but the people who were uninformed, who were listening to them, may take their word on what they were talking about in saying things like, the only reason to cut back on fossil fuels is because we'll be running out of them. You know, let's ignore all the climate impacts and the fact that it kills millions of people every year. But this is what we're up against. This is what the misinformation that's coming from the other side is giving to some of the base who is going to tune into that message. With that said, I am ultimately very optimistic about the possibility that we will have an administration coming in that is going to not go down the dark road. Basically, on November 5th, we are going to determine what happens with our future. It's a very important time to vote, and a very important country to be voting in. So take that opportunity. We're out of time. That'll do it for this evening's show. Thank you, Bettina and Catherine, for being with us.
You're so welcome, Bob.
Thank you. This was great.
And to our listeners, be sure to listen to the Natural Alternatives Healthy Planet lineup with great hosts sharing cutting-edge information on health, our environment, social justice issues, and so much more. Visit our website at healthyplanetusa.org. Also, like us on our Facebook page, which is at Healthy Planet USA. Until next time, stay strong, relax, make your voice heard in this world by continuing to speak up for what's right. Consider early voting and definitely getting out to vote by November 5th. Be kind to those around you, including our amazing four and multi-legged friends. And finally, remember to enjoy each moment of existence on this beautiful planet that we share. Good night.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that we can give our daughters everything they need to grow and learn. But not every child can focus on classes and play dates.
Nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. face hunger. That's one in six. School lunch might be their only meal each day, and it's heartbreaking to imagine any child going to bed hungry. We're dreaming of a perfect day when kids can smile, play, and just be kids without worrying about where their next meal will come from. Feeding America is working to make that perfect day a reality.
Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste. That food is given to families and children in need. Being a kid should be about doing things that make an ordinary day extraordinary. Learning to play an instrument, building a sandcastle, hosting tea parties. Hunger should never be an obstacle to growing up.
You can help end childhood hunger in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.